Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. From the banks of the Ohio River in Evansville, Indiana, this is Red Blue Hoops with fanatical Red host Chad Payton and obsessive Blue host Evan Beck.
Welcome, everyone, to the third season of the award-winning Red Blue Hoops show on your WNIN 88.3 FM. Give us a call as the phone lines are open. Our phone number is 812-426-7400. Or you can tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. I am Evan Beck, your voice for the Kentucky Wildcats, and joining me again tonight as the voice for the Indiana Hoosiers is Chad Payton. Chad, welcome to tonight's show.
Thank you. Happy Thursday, everybody. Evan, Walker, good to see you guys. I think we're back, and we are better than ever, right?
I love it. Yes.
Me too.
Show 2, Season 3. Any feedback on the streets from the Hoosier fans from our show last week? Have you bounced around the community?
Yeah, I heard some interesting things. My godson actually called me after listening to the show last week. We brought up the IU curse that we remember discussing that last week.
That's part of the 30-year anniversary segment that we're doing each week this year.
So supposedly, and I need some fact checkers on this if anybody else knows about this, but in orientation at IU now, they talk about in 1987, some statues were stolen from a fountain in the middle of campus.
Uh-oh.
And they made a big deal about it after the championship, and one of those statues was returned, but the other one was not returned. And Indiana Bloomington folklore now is Indiana will not win another national title until that dang fountain is returned.
Or the statue.
Oh, the statue. I'm sorry. Yes.
So do you have any knowledge what these statues looked like, the size?
I'm working on that.
Okay.
But I'm begging and pleading with IU Nation. Return the statue, please.
So, Hoosier Nation,
yeah.
There's a missing statue out there that has supposedly been impacting the ability of Indiana to compete for a national championship for 30 years.
That's all it is. Yeah. It's crazy, isn't it?
Well, I love the fact that we brought up that new segment this year, and we've had people interacting. You know, we had the feedback from Brian and Sharisa meeting 30 years
That's
ago.
That's right.
And Aaron called in, and he considers that his birth was the beginning of the curse for IU. And
you said I was still wearing diapers.
And yeah, 9 years old.
That's right. At 9 years old. That's right.
Well, let's just go ahead and jump right into since our last show last week. It's my understanding. See, IU went 1-1.
They did.
They won at home, right?
They did.
Against an Illinois team?
They did.
What about that game?
Dad and I were at that game last Saturday. And it was funny, we were running kind of late. Parking was a little rough up there. So I dropped him off because I wanted him to get in there and see the beginning and make sure that saw the starting lineups because there's some neat things that Indiana does there. So I got in there late, and IU was up 13-0. So they started that game the way they should have started the Wisconsin game the few days before. So played okay. I mean, they needed a win. And then they did get it. They were 11-point favorites, won the game by 16. They did give up 51 points in the second half.
Ouch.
Yeah, still
and
lack.
Illinois, what's their story? They're not good again this year, or what's the deal?
You know, I think they're about 11-6. Very similar record to Indiana, actually. Don't have the type of wins as far as the North Carolina and Kansas. But Illinois last night did get a nice win at home against Michigan. Played
well.
Oh,
yeah, that's right.
So that was a good win for them.
It's good.
So, hey, Indiana will take any. I don't care who we're playing. We needed a win, so we got that, especially in conference.
And that was last Saturday?
That was last Saturday.
I remember seeing part of that game. You guys shot the ball well, if I remember correctly.
Shot the ball well, yeah. Shot the ball well from the field and from three. And did some good things. I was expecting I thought we might see a 30-point win. A motivated team that plays both halves well. It didn't happen that way, but I'm not going to complain about a 16-point
win. Oh, sure. No,
anytime
that you guys have been struggling a little bit lately, and
yes.
you more than cover the spread very comfortably, so you got to be happy about that. But then you go on the road.
We did. Played at Maryland last, I guess that was on Tuesday night. Tough atmosphere. Maryland, normally to me, is soft. I always felt like they didn't defend, and that's why IU always matched up well against them because we'd play hard against them. But that Maryland team's not like that this year. I think they had 8 block shots in the first half, so they were getting tough at the rim, causing some issues. IU played a decent game, played good enough to win on the road.
They were in position to tie at the end, right?
They were. Games aren't won and lost on one play, but one of the things I tweeted out during the game was IU had taken a 2-point lead with about 2.5 minutes left in the game, made a great defensive stop, blocked a shot, and went on a fast break. James Blackman and Robert Johnson, 2-on-1. Getting ready to shoot a 3. It was going to be a good shot either way. And Blackman steps out of bounds on the wing. Those things just, they can't happen. Not at home, not on the road. They go up 5 there, go up 4. Game pressure sets in, and Indiana probably gets a nice win on the road. So, with that game, just substitution patterns still are odd with Crean. I think he's still trying to figure that out. And there's just, at the end of the day with the Hoosiers, unfortunately, there's just no leader. There's no go-to guy. Yogi Ferrell was in the stands the other night, and I think it brought back a lot of memories to folks. Man, if he could just suit him up again, that would be nice.
Well, speaking of that, let me get to that point here in a second. I need to remind our listeners, you can give us a call. Phone lines are open, 812-426-7400, or tweet.
At Red Blue Hoops. We need some questions.
So you mentioned Yogi and Nick Zeisloff.
They were both there. Okay. That's right.
So I'm watching your game. I settled in just before halftime, and I saw the Mello Trimble play where he blew by Thomas Bryant. That Thomas Bryant still can't properly guard the pick and roll.
He can't guard. He can't guard a chair.
One thing I had a question for you or the Indiana Hoosier listeners out there, I find it extremely unusual that a head coach would allow 2 former players to sit immediately behind the bench and to interact significantly with your players during the game. To me, that's extremely odd. If I'm the head coach, it doesn't happen. Those players need to be listening to 1 of 4 people, the head coach and the 3 assistants. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe your strength and conditioning coach. He gets them all fired
up. That's right, yeah.
Beyond that, yeah. I mean, they were in I guess, Blackman and Bryant's ear. I found that just to be unusual and another feather in Crean's unusual hat.
That's a good catch, Evan. I did not see that. Obviously, I saw Zeisloft and Farrell behind the bench.
Yep.
I did not see them interacting.
You know why you didn't see it? You were tweeting.
That's a good point.
You were looking at your Twitter screen.
I was so mad.
You are Twitter fantastic during the game.
I am.
Twitter-tastic.
I am Twitter-tastic.
But so you guys are now 1-3 in the Big Ten.
1-3 in the Big Ten.
Okay. Let's just get right into Tom Crean. Tom Crean has a 56% winning percentage at IU.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. His career winning percentage is 61%.
That's right.
And in my office, there's a lot, as I tell you week in, week out, I work with a lot of IU fans, and some of them are really, really intelligent basketball fans.
Yes.
And they're
– Most IU fans are, by the way. Okay. I'll throw that
okay.
out there.
But the tenor in my office today, you know, they come in there and chew the fat on Red Blue Hoops Day, and they want Crean gone. So let's hear from the fan base out there.
Absolutely.
What is your current position on Coach Tom Crean? Does he need to stay in B-Town or get out of B-Town? Hey, we have a caller on line 1. Wayne, go ahead. Welcome
All right.
to Red Blue Hoops, Wayne.
Hey, Chad. How you doing there, bud?
Hey, Wayne. What's going on? Thanks for calling in, man. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. But, hey, I got a couple things to tell you.
Yeah.
The statue that they're saying that actually got stolen was the donkey that Bob Knight stole from Purdue. As their mascot back in several years ago, so they're saying that's what it really was.
No kidding. Okay, that's good feedback.
That's a joke.
Oh,
he had you hook, line, and sinker.
I liked it. I liked that, Wayne. That was making some sense, though. Pretty creative.
So, Wayne,
I just reeled you in, Chad. What can I say?
I know you did. That was pretty easy there.
So, Wayne, right when you called in, we're just talking about Crean and. And within my office, the IU fans are really barking about Crean today. What's your current stance on Tom Crean?
Well, I mean, I've been a Crean, I guess, proponent more than anything. I've kind of given him the benefit of the doubt for most things. I don't think he's a great coach. I think he's a decent coach. The problem that he has is that when you have players that are not playing well, like OG Anunoby right now and Thomas Bryant, Dan Dockich made the comment that James Blackman Jr. couldn't guard a chair, and I guess I've been telling Chad that Thomas Bryant, he couldn't guard a trash can.
That's a good point.
So, that is.
So really what we've got is that, you know, you got players that have talent that are expected to play and play at a high level. If you take Thomas Bryant and OG, when they have not been playing well, we're not a good team.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So what happens for him is that he's in a situation that he starts playing guys that are red shirts and
walk-ons.
Walk-ons and whatever you want to call, that's not very good ball players, and he's trying to get some enthusiasm going to put a message to those guys, and he's not got a message to them, and they're still not playing well.
Well, Wayne, go ahead.
Go ahead. So really from that standpoint, you know, I think Chad and I've talked about this. He's going to have to shorten minutes of players and, you know, that can't really play. But at the same time, even in the Maryland game, we had, you know, key critical turnovers at, you know, just, you know, junctions of the game that you got to score and you got to have a basket. And Thomas Bryant and OG, I mean, other than OG having one thunders done, was just non-existent again.
That's a great point. I mean, I can't say it any better there.
No, Wayne, we really appreciate your call.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for your support.
Thanks a ton for calling, man. Talk to you soon.
Hey, not a problem at all. Talk to you soon.
See you, Wayne. Thank you.
You know, Chad, to statistically support Wayne's comment about IU's lack of defense, you currently are ranked 99th in the nation defensively. And if you look at your lineup, you have Jawan Morgan, mm-hmm. OG,
yep.
Thomas Bryant,
yep.
Deron Davis. You have the length and the bulk to be better defensively on the interior, and as we saw OG last year, excellent wing defense as he shut down Jamal Murray in the NCAA tournament
yeah.
against Kentucky.
Yeah.
So when you look at the guard play, you have Johnson, Blackman, two highly experienced guards. I can't understand why Indiana is such a poor defensive team.
Well, it's a great point, and I don't want to – hate to blame one guy on this whole deal, but – Thomas Bryant has really let down the Hoosiers this year. We thought we would get the points, and he's been okay there. But as far as a center blocking shots and doing his thing, he cannot handle a pick and roll. So coaches, they scout. The Big Ten is one of the best scouted conferences in the country, just
yep.
like the SEC.
Yep.
And they make plays on this guy. And Thomas Bryant is not strong. It's been a while since I've seen a player of his stature in my mind regress from year to year. I mean, he was awesome in that Kentucky game last year.
Oh, he was fantastic.
Just incredible. Looked
dominant.
Fast out there, made some plays. But Wayne, actually, he made a great point with that, too, the other day. Did Yogi Ferrell make such a difference with the team as far as being able to penetrate and kick and set these guys up for success? And we don't have a point guard. We just don't.
No, you
don't. And, that I thought we could overcome that, but that's too critical of a position to make it happen.
And you guys are turning the ball over a lot. So bad defense with turnovers, it's putting your position, you're putting your team in a bad position.
Yeah, I mean, you think of the Butler or the Maryland, a few other games that we lost. I think it's a four games there outside of the Louisville game by a total of 14 points. So that talks about the importance of possessions and then puts pressure on Crean, too, to make it happen. I mean, his substitution patterns and in those games that are so tight, anything he does or does not do is magnified a ton. And unfortunately, IU's just not getting it done right now.
All right, listeners, again, phone lines are open. Give us a call tonight at 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. Come on, folks, call in. We got to talk.
Speaking of our Twitter account, we have a couple of people tweeting in tonight. The first one is Joe Hurley.
Joe Hurley, yeah, good friend of mine.
His tweet is, when was the last time we attempted to score on an out-of-bounds play or ran out of a timeout for that matter? I guess ran a play out of a timeout.
That's right.
Now, we kind of touched on this last week a little bit because – you know, I will say inbounds plays, Cal Perry he goes neutral. He doesn't really try to immediately attack the rim. It kind of frustrates us because you have all these athletes and great players.
Sure.
Why not go after it? But
sure.
Tubby was pretty good at it. Billy G was really good at it, ironically.
Yeah.
Although he was very poor in the other facets of coaching. But so that's a Joe Hurley question. Anybody have any insight there?
Yeah.
I just think it's just.
The interesting thing that Joe makes a point there is that you mentioned how Kentucky's is more neutral. Well, Indiana's out-of-bounds plays are borderline disastrous. you watch them, and you end up throwing the ball in the backcourt, and the defender's jumping up looking like his jump ball, like he's going to catch it. And then your offense is out of sorts at that point.
True.
So I think I made the point last week, Bill Self in Kansas, they average like 8 to 10 points a game on out-of-bounds plays. That's just incredible. And that I was always an offensive type of guy. So, what's that?
Yeah, a guy shoots three threes in 30 seconds.
That's right, single-handed 9-0 run. You remember that story?
I do.
Yeah.
Also off Twitter, we have now this is a lifelong Illinois fan. This is coming in from Keith Bratton. He says, is IU ranked this week? Question mark. Not listed in my paper.
IU is not ranked this week. They are not.
Well, that kind of is a great segue. Folks, again, each week we provide you what's called the RBH Index. That's our homemade a ranking system that we utilize the four major mathematical indices. And this week, the index, Indiana has improved dramatically, folks. Last week, Indiana's RBH Index was 62.5. This week, they're up to 48.
Yeah.
All right. And where they made it the most ground is in RPI. Last week, they were 134. Indiana is now sitting at number 90 in the nation in RPI. But now, let's dig a little deeper there. When you pull up the Big Ten Conference in RPI only, Indiana is third to last in the Big Ten in RPI.
Mm-hmm.
Only ahead of Iowa is last, and then Rutgers, and then Indiana.
Yeah.
So that's got to be a little concerning, especially with the Big Ten being a little bit down this year.
Yeah, you're right. It's hard to say still, though. It's so I guess we're 4 or 5 games in. I do think some of these teams, Michigan State's all of a sudden playing really well. They got Bridges back, Minnesota, Wisconsin's of the world. We'll see.
I love this part of the show.
She's becoming a Geraldine.
She is.
Which is good. We like that, right?
We now have the infamous Kim Payton on the line. Kim, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
How you guys doing?
Doing well. How are you doing?
Great.
Kim, I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Well, I just want to ask Chad how he thinks the big guys don't play underneath the basket more. When you have, like, OG can jump 2 feet above the rim, and it seems like they should get him the ball in there, and he can, you know, make some points.
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't know how to answer that outside of that's a coaching philosophy that Bryant and OG are too much on the perimeter, and they're not getting good shots in there, and that's causing our offense to be out of balance. And I agree. That's on Crean. He's got to fix that. And that's the danger of sometimes getting guys like Bryant hitting some threes and doing that thing early, because then they think they're three-point shooters and not post players. So that's a good question. I need some Hoosier Nation fans to call in on that, and let's discuss that further as well. What do you think?
You talking about to me?
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
No, I thought you were the go-to guy.
Okay, that's right. Hey, thanks for that IU thing, too. It's fitting in the shop here or the office pretty nicely.
Hey, Kim, I think we need to have a little bit of a Red Blue Hoops dinner at your house one night.
That'll work.
Are you a great cook?
I am.
Yes.
What's your go-to dinner?
Grilled pork chops.
Oh, daddy-o, I love grilled pork chops.
And they're good. All right. That's nice.
Let's plan on that, all right?
That'd be great.
Great. Anything else for us tonight?
Just have a great weekend.
All right. Thanks for calling in.
Did you take those tickets for last week?
No, he didn't. He was scared.
Yeah, I didn't. I couldn't.
No, just mean some. Okay. Thanks, guys. You're awesome.
See ya. Thank you.
See you, Kim.
All right.
Well, digging back into Indiana's RBH index, since I've been doing this, I've never seen such a, tremendous spread, because Indiana's ranked 29th in KenPom, 25th in Sagarin. Again, BPI is still offline, and then 90th RPI. I've never seen a spread like that before.
Yeah, I'm trying to be cautiously optimistic. The next 6 games for the Hoosiers, I think, are very winnable, and that's easy for me to sit back and say. But and I think at minimum they need to go 4-2. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, they are pushing bubble type territory.
That's right,
and need to make it happen. So we'll see.
Well, folks, again, phone lines are open. Give us a call at 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
We're going to our first break. We'll be right back.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
All right, folks, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops here on WNIN 88.3. Phone lines are open at 812-426-7400, and our Twitter account has lit up.
It's blowing up tonight,
isn't
it?
It is, and this is from a really, really good friend of mine, the one and only duck-slamming Blake DeWeese from out there in Newburgh, Indiana.
Blake.
He's an up-and-comer. There's rumors that Kyle Perry's recruiting him already. He's only like six.
Really?
Kid's incredible. But anyway, Blake has a question for us here. Which Indiana player needs to step up and lead the team? I'll throw it to you, Mr. Payton.
Good question. Thanks for tweeting that out, Blake. I think it needs to be Robert Johnson. I think he is the most consistent IU player. He's not a loud type of guy, but I think he's got the respect of the team, and I think he needs to be the guy. And then throw in some folks like Thomas Bryant to relax and calm down, let Robo somewhat lead the team. And unfortunately, it's by committee. Colin Hartman would have been that guy, but he unfortunately is hurt. And from what I hear from reliable sources, that his career could be over at Indiana, that he will not play. So my thing on that is Robert Johnson needs to be the guy.
Our good friend Jim Gossie just tweeted in, okay, we've beat the dead horse we call the Hoosiers. Let's talk about Big Blue Nation.
That's right.
So with that being said, we have Geraldine the Cat
there on you
the
go. Line.
Geraldine, welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, how are you guys tonight?
Doing well. Cat-tastic.
Well, good. I'm glad. Hey, I've had the opportunity to do some traveling the last couple of days and put in some radio time, and I got to listen to an interview with a sports broadcaster, and I'm not a big sports fanatic, so this guy was news to me, but you all may have heard of him. His name is Joe Buck.
Oh, yeah.
He's written a memoir that's come out, and I was just fascinated listening to him, and I swear I think you guys could give him a run for his money.
Wow. Well, that's saying like a lot, Geraldine, because Joe Buck, obviously, the son of the famous, is this?
Jack Buck.
Jack Buck,
that's
yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, Joe does St. Louis Cardinal, but he does, I mean, the biggest NFL games every week.
He's the guy, him and Aikman.
Yeah.
Well, I really like listening to him, but I think you guys could give him a run for his money in terms of basketball, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
You guys sound just as good as he does on the radio.
Well, thank you for that. We appreciate your support.
Well, you're welcome.
Yes,
I did have a question.
Okay.
I used to hear a lot last year, particularly maybe in years gone by, about the dribble drive as a strategy, and I just wanted to know if you think that strategy still lives or if it's going to be used, and if not, then why not?
Sure. No, it's a great question, Geraldine. We really appreciate the call. The dribble drive offense was brought to, I guess, notoriety by John Calipari. He did not at all invent this offense. He was given some advice from some people that he runs with in the coaching, fraternity. I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a famous picture of Coach Cal sitting in a restaurant with a ketchup bottle, a mustard bottle, and a bunch of sugar and flavor packets on the table.
Yeah.
And that's where they actually had their discussion.
You told me this.
Yeah, the dribble drive offense. So it's been a staple of Cal Perry going back to the Memphis days, and he actually used it in its true sense of the form of the dribble drive offense more at Memphis than he has at UK. He's been more adaptive at UK with his roster changing year in, year out, but it's still part of his repertoire offensively, no question about it. He loves his big athletic guards to be able to drive to the basket, and if there's anything that happens, they can obviously throw a lob to the weak side, or you can always kick it back out for a three, so it's definitely still part of his attack mechanism.
Yeah, they're the best in the country at the lob pass.
They are.
It's incredible.
And it's interesting, Chad, because as this, you know, each season we have a brand new roster, so you have to watch this team develop. But you're starting to see Fox and Monk, these little mid lane floaters, and they're
Monk hit one late against Vandy.
He
that
did.
Was sweet.
Oh, just,
I mean, teardrop
right over Luke Kornet.
Nothing but net.
7 feet. Yeah,
nothing but net.
So, you know, a month and a half ago, they weren't as effective in that shot. So you're starting to see that individual skill set improvement under Cal Perry come to the forefront for UK. So, but thanks for the call, Geraldine. The phone line is open 812-426-7400 or tweet at
Red Blue Hoops. Hey,
so,
real
go
quick
ahead.
On that too.
Yep.
For Indiana fans, you got the dribble drive. Indiana has been known to have the weave and heave offense.
That's right.
So we're working on that,
the
though.
Weave and, you guys are good at that offense.
Yeah, unfortunately.
We touched a lot about Indiana's bumpy week this past week, winning against Illinois, then losing to Maryland on the road.
Yeah, who'd you guys have?
This past Saturday, I guess it was after you guys beat Illinois, we tipped off against Arkansas in Rupp Arena. And, you know, that used to be an incredible game back in the day when Arkansas was perennial top 10 team and both teams were loaded athletically.
40 minutes of hell, right?
Yeah.
Nolan Richardson.
And but we ended up with a very slow half, and it's funny. Because of this year's team, everyone said it was extremely slow, poor performance. We still scored 41 points in the first half. Second half, we looked completely different. We blew them out 97-71. Let's go back to the phone lines. We have White Cat on the phone. White Cat, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Hi, guys. This here's White Cat from Whitesville, Kentucky. My question for both of y'all tonight.
All right.
There's all these different polls, and then there's the RPI and the KenPom. And my question is, how much credence do y'all give each one of them, and which one do y'all think is most accurate and why?
Great question, White Cat. Appreciate the phone call. So –
That's
well, for me, it dates back to about 4 years ago. I became exposed to KenPom. And when we started Red Blue Hoops 3 years ago, I brought it to the show. And Ben Shoulders at the time was not as familiar with KenPom. But over the last 3 years, for sure, KenPom has become the most recognized mathematical computer program ranking system in the nation.
Right.
As being the most, I guess, diversified and statistically supported ranking system. But you also still have Sagarin still floating around. That's the old school statistical ranking system. You still have RPI, and then they say that BPI is going to come back. But for me, I go to KenPom first every time.
I was going to agree with you on that.
Yeah.
But
yeah, White Cat, thanks again for the call. 812-426-7400. But back to Kentucky and Arkansas, it got chippy in the second half.
I heard about that.
Really chippy. And you have to realize Malik Monk is from Arkansas. The Arkansas Razorbacks and Coach Mike Anderson recruited Malik Monk since he was in the ninth grade. You know, when Malik was a senior, the entire Arkansas team and the coaching staff would go watch him play high school basketball.
Wow.
So Malik Monk, you know, goes to Kentucky. So his entire senior year, every high school game he played in, he was being jeered and cursed night in, night out. He handled it maturely, and, you know, he's playing at Kentucky, and I don't know why you would want to deny a kid that would have the opportunity to, you know, hone his skill set at Kentucky.
Absolutely.
So anyway, it got chippy. There was a little bit of Isaiah Briscoe was stepped on intentionally by an Arkansas player. Shortly thereafter, Kentucky's playing defense, and how can I say this correctly on the radio, but an Arkansas player intentionally hit Malik Monk below the belt.
Ooh.
And it was not caught by the referees, but so it was chippy. Well, so the game ends. Again, we blow them out 97-71. And you've seen Tom Crean blow by the handshake line before.
Oh, yeah.
He's infamous for it.
Yes.
Well, Mike Anderson may have set a new record.
Really? I didn't see that. I'm going to check that out.
I mean, if you watch it, it's like a blur. Anderson just zips right by Cal Perry.
Any shake or nothing?
It was a little hand rub, maybe.
Okay.
And Cal stopped wanting to talk, but Anderson had nothing
to
do with it. So that was interesting. But then, for me, I'm so excited tonight because we went on the road Tuesday night.
Tuesday before the
IU
game.
Exactly. So we're playing at Vanderbilt. Now, Vanderbilt's not a highly ranked team this year at all. They're completely rebuilding. They have a new coach, Bryce Drew.
Yeah.
Played at Valpo.
Yeah.
But for me, I don't care what we're ranked. Anytime we go down there and get a W, I'm ecstatic. Very happy. I was listening to pregame. Former UK star Rex Chapman from Owensboro, he now does pregame. And he said his freshman year, he went down to Vanderbilt, and he was completely lost, didn't know how to handle anything, played terrible, he said. He said he does not see how Cal Perry can take all those freshmen and go into Vanderbilt and get a win. Last year, we got spanked by 12 down there.
I remember that.
And if you think about last year, we had a more seasoned guard play, with especially Tyler Ulis.
Yeah.
This year, we got a pure freshman Fox running the point, and we get in severe foul trouble. The game was 87-81. I mean, Kentucky pulled out the win. And one thing I found funny at the end of the game, I don't know if you saw or heard this, but Malik Monk's going to the line to shoot free throws, put the game on ice, and the Vanderbilt fans are all chanting, "Overrated." Okay, number one, you're getting beat. And you're talking about a kid that scored 47 against Carolina, so it's kind of a funny deal chanting "Overrated."
Wow.
When you're losing.
Yeah, that's odd. Goofy.
Going back to the hotline here, we have Wayne. Wayne, welcome. Is this the same Wayne?
I don't know.
Hey, Wayne, I have to ask another question here.
All right. Thanks,
really,
man.
This is really for Evan.
Okay.
Evan, can you explain a little bit the recruit with UK? I guess I can't think of his name, that's coming in mid-semester, like right now, and yes. It actually has 18 months of eligibility, like maybe this year or next year. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Sure can. Yeah. Thanks, Wayne. His name is Hamidou Diallo. He's currently coming out of Putnam, Connecticut. And the situation there is he has already graduated high school spring of 16.
Yeah.
So he's now been in a prep academy, and he is actually on campus, fully enrolled. He is beginning to practice with the University of Kentucky Wildcat basketball team, and he is eligible for the draft this year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of debate this week about will he play or not play this season. So he's going to come into practice. I think there's potentially a chance he will play this year. Cal Perry's saying the initial plan right now is for him not to play, but he's a 6'5". He's the number one shooting guard for the 2017 class. He has a 6'11 wingspan, a 38-inch vertical. He's an athletic freak. He can't shoot the ball that well yet. But let me ask you a question. Like the other night, we had Fox and Monk in foul trouble. If you have this kid on the bench, why not bring him in if he's getting used to the practice scheme and the offensive, defensive schemes of Cal Perry? So I'm excited about it. There's a chance he will go to the draft this year. Now, what I think will happen, he'll go to the combine, which is a new rule now. You can now go to the NBA combine, get all the input from the NBA people and the executives, come back to college, and so the plan is for him to play for us next year.
Okay.
Yep.
I got one more question, if you don't mind, for both of you, and this is probably non-UK and IU related, but basically relates to basketball. What do you guys both think about this situation with Grayson Allen?
We had a little bit of talk about this last week, didn't we?
Oh, we did. Yeah. No, Wayne, thank you for the call, and thanks for your support of Red Blue Hoops. Grayson Allen's a hot button right now.
He is.
And since our show last week, was it one or two more incidents?
Two? Two more.
Okay. So
two more.
Again, folks, just as a quick review, last season he intentionally tripped two players during a college basketball game. This year he did it again against Elon. He was indefinitely suspended
one game
by Coach K. That ended up being a one-game suspension.
Yeah.
He comes back. Is it the first game back after suspension? He's playing against Boston College.
That's right. That's right.
And there's a high, way outside the top of the key screen set on Grayson.
Yep.
And he extends his left leg.
Yeah.
Straight backwards.
He almost had a 90-degree angle going with his leg
into
there.
The midsection of the offensive player. And I was always trained to fight over a ball screen by kicking your leg out forward, away
absolutely.
From and get around. You can't see us on TV right now, folks, but you kick your leg up and around the defender, not
backwards.
You
don't typically look like a ballerina out there,
no.
Right?
So that was odd. That was intentional.
Absolutely.
Well, then since then, I guess at Florida State,
what
happened down there?
They got beat down there, lost by 15, but he's running to the corner to grab a ball that's going out of bounds and runs into the Florida State assistant coach. And in my humble opinion, basically was falling in and pushes the assistant coach. And I've seen a lot of media saying, oh, there's nothing to that. But, man, it seems like there's a lot of Grayson Allen apologists out there. And I don't get it. He has a problem, I think. What do you think?
Oh, there's no question he has a problem.
Yeah.
It's habitual. It's obvious. I mean, he's done three trips, the unusual ball screen, and now the push. That's five
incidents.
Yeah. And one, basically, if you carve out the
about
first part of last
year.
Season, the rest of it's basically one season to
it
play.
It is.
Going back to the Twitter line, folks, again, you can tweet us at Red Blue Hoops. This is to Chad.
Uh-oh.
From Brant Wilson. I think he's a Castle Knight in Walker's class. By the way, Walker Beck, our intern here tonight.
Awesome.
Running
Walker.
Social media. He says, Chad, between Purdue and Indiana, who will win?
They'll both win at home. I'll call that right now.
So they both have home games against each
other. They do play each other. Yeah.
Man, that freaking kid for Purdue is a monster. What's his name? Haas or Hayes?
Caleb. Well, which one? Caleb Swanigan or Isaac Haas?
Swanigan's a normal monster.
Yeah, Haas looks like Paul Bunyan. It's about 7'3", 300 pounds.
His calves are like oak trees.
Mm-hmm.
Not that skilled, but
yeah,
takes up space.
But I do think Indiana will find a way at home, and Purdue at Mackey. They could beat the Golden State Warriors in Mackey Arena. So
That's a heated rivalry for you guys, isn't it?
It is. It is. And Purdue's playing well this year, so it makes it even better.
Wow, time flies, Chad. We got to go to break. We'll be right back, folks. Go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors. Dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336.
What's that? All right, basketball fans, welcome back to Red Blue Hoops. This is Show 2, Season 3.
We're
having an absolutely good time tonight. The phone lines have been hot. Twitter line has been hot. You could call us at 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops. I'm going to read a Twitter question.
Fantastic.
Here.
Bring it in.
Mr. Jim Gotze called in, an avid follower and a good guy here. He asked a question. I'm going to ask Hoosier Nation. I'll give a little bit of a response, but I'd like some folks to call in on this. IU fans calling for Crean to be fired. Who would we want as a coach? And then maybe the secondary piece of that is who could we get?
Well,
and that's
here's
that
my theory on that's a great question by Jim, because again, the chatter's picking up. It's picking up in my office for sure. I mean, one of your biggest fans. Again, he's a great fan.
Yeah.
Intelligent. He wants Crean gone. I say we make a challenge to our Red Blue Hoops listeners. Call us next week with a short list.
Yeah. Let's hear it.
Hey, you guys, call him five names. We got to go back to the line, and we have Johnny Versace on the Red Blue Hoops hotline. John, welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
Big Cat.
Johnny Versace. How you doing?
How's
good tonight, buddy.
Awesome. How you guys doing?
Good. What's going on, man?
We're having a cat-tastic time here tonight.
Appreciate you guys doing the show.
Yes, sir. What do you have for us tonight, Johnny?
Hey, a couple things on the Vandy game. I want to circle back on that. You know, I thought that the officiating in that game, not that it went one way or the other, was called so closely that it really took away from the flow of the game.
A lot of fouls.
It did. There's like 40-some-odd fouls
in that game. Yeah, I thought just to watch the game, it was really not a very fun game to watch.
No flow.
The other observation I had on that, which was interesting watching on TV, because I've been to that, you know, you've been to that arena a number of times.
Yes, sir.
It's a goofy arena.
It is.
But there was a lot of Kentucky fans there, because when you watch it on TV, man, you could hear the Kentucky fans. Not that there was as many as there was Vandy fans, but they were loud enough that, you know, you could hear them on TV, which is really kind of pretty cool, I thought.
Oh, there's no question. Now, one thing I did observe that I've never seen in my lifetime, there were a lot of empty seats for Vanderbilt, Kentucky. I've never seen empty seats for
game. I thought that was interesting, too, and we were talking about that. Somebody said they didn't think the Vandy students were back to school yet.
That could be the case. I can tell you this. I have a good friend that was in Nashville for business. He walked up to the ticket booth, bought a ticket, face value, 20 rows behind Kentucky's bench for that game.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
And what happened was, if you saw the game at the very beginning, there were a lot of empty seats in the lower arena. Well, they started filling up. That was not people walking in. That was people from upstairs walking down.
Wow.
So that was very – so I would say it was 60% Kentucky fans probably, from what I could tell on TV. And you could hear the crowd roars were kind of equal for each team.
Yeah, yeah.
But, hey
– So I got one final question for you. I'll take your answer off the air. You know, Walker Lyle, he's been doing this for a while now. I just wonder how much longer he has to do this before he – elevates beyond intern status.
Oh, that's a great question, Versace. Again, thanks for the call and your support for Red Blue Hoots. So,
he's pretty
you know, we
good.
do have a We do have an open mic sitting here, so maybe down the road we'll have a Walker segment. Put him to the test.
We can't
here.
Have two Kentucky people on the air.
Tell what, he's just blushing, Chad, like you did last week when your mom said you look good in blue.
Oh, my gosh. That's a good point. That was
awesome. We're back on the phone lines. We have Ben. Ben, go ahead. Welcome to Red Blue Hoops.
Hey, how you guys doing tonight?
Doing great, good. Ben.
I think you talked about the dribble drive earlier. I think that guy's name was Vance Wahlberg.
That's correct. That is the name that escaped me. Bingo. Thank you.
Yeah. Gotcha. And I just got one sort of, I guess, observation that, see if you agree or disagree with me, but I'd say a bittersweet thing about having so many one-and-done players get to the program is there's been just more than usual large quantity of players that have gone through than a normal seven-year span. And because of that, you get a lot of players that I think are overlooked or underrated once they go into the league. I'd say the biggest example for me would be Deron Lamb, easily. But yeah. I think you think there's a good chance that Isaiah Briscoe will fit in that category since he was kind of overshadowed by Murray and Ulis last year and Fox and Monk this year, because probably the two greatest pairs maybe of guards in UK history.
That's a good point.
You've got Briscoe kind of as a third wheel in there. So I want to know what you think.
Well, that's a great question, Ben. Thanks for the call and your support of Red Blue Hoops. I've never thought of that from that perspective, but you know, Lamb played 2 years, won a title.
Yeah, he's
was
a nice
one
player.
Of the best shooters to ever play at UK. A lot of things about Deron Lamb off the court that most people don't know. He's kind of an odd fella.
Okay.
And I'll summarize
most Kentucky
by saying,
people are. But
yeah,
oh, man,
I got you. But I'll just classify it as he can be known to be a little bit lazy.
Okay.
And one of the reasons he's out of professional basketball now. But let's see, Briscoe. I think Briscoe has a greater leadership role on this year's team than Lamb did on that team, because, again, you had Marcus Teague, Terrence Jones. Gilchrist was a tremendous leader. And then
who
Davis.
Who was the senior you guys had that could shoot?
Darius Miller.
Darius Miller was a nice player.
I think Briscoe has a much more elevated leadership role in this year's squad, so I think he'll be overshadowed less, is my opinion.
Well, I do like Briscoe, elite finisher around the rim, but man, in the NBA, as far as that next level, he's kind of a dime a dozen. He's got to be able to shoot the ball consistently, and I don't watch Kentucky enough to see that. But every time I watch him, he's getting to the rim.
You're welcome to my house anytime you want to come and watch the game with us, Walker, and I'll educate you.
Likewise, right. Likewise, I got you.
So I tell you what, folks, phone lines are open 812-426-7400 or tweet
at Red Blue Hoops.
Go ahead, fire away.
My wife just tweeted in.
Uh-oh.
Beautiful wife. Steve Alford. So who's your nation? Would you be interested in Steve Alford coming back to Bloomington? So
I tell you what.
He did. He's in pretty good shape there at UCLA right now. So.
Years ago, when you hired Crean, it was a resounding no by Hoosier Nation.
Right.
I remember it.
Well, he was in the Big Ten. It underachieved at Iowa. I mean, they weren't great, but – Iowa, you can recruit some players and should be good enough to make the tournament. And so I don't know.
Home state hero.
That's right.
I mean,
he could break the 87. He was on the 87 team. Maybe he'd bring him back and the
curse
could break.
Maybe he has the statue.
He might.
We really need some more intel on this. I'm fascinated by the story. In fact, it's probably one of the most rewarding moments of my Red Blue Hoops career. The fact that we brought the 30-year anniversary segment up and this came out of it.
That's right.
Speaking of the 30-year anniversary.
You got to break. Oh, we need the movies and the songs,
okay,
right?
Folks. This is our weekly segment. And to celebrate the 30-year anniversary of Indiana's last time to hang a banner. It's been so long, they don't know how to hang a banner. No, that's not true. You guys hung a banner one time for finishing third in the Big Ten or something. Is that right?
Well, yeah, you're right. I think it was second.
Second. Yeah, so anyway, folks, dating back to 1987, close your eyes and let's go back down memory lane. Number 18 movie of the year, Broadcast News.
Oh, don't know
that
one.
Look at Berger back there getting the head nod on that. I like that.
Berger, he's seen that.
Directed by James Brooks. His brother Albert Brooks was the star. And supporting actor William Hurt. And then supporting actress Holly Hunter. Okay, now this next one, number 17 movie for 87. I had never heard of this. Had to look it up. Outrageous Fortune.
Well, there were some big-time actresses in that.
The entire studio has blank stares on their faces. Shelley Long and Bette Midler.
That's two pretty known
folks. Never heard
there.
Of that movie, but no. It grossed $52.8 million that year. Okay, songs, 1987. 18th top song of the year, I Think We're Alone Now by Tiffany.
That's my sister's name, so I remember that one. That's a good one.
Tiffany Payton.
That's right.
17, Head to Toe by Lisa Lisa and Cult Jam. That was a great video on MTV back in the day. Remember that? The MTV used to play videos. That's how long it's been since Indiana won a title. So, folks, what we're asking, hey, give us a call or a tweet or a text. Let us know what you're doing in 87. How do you remember the last time Indiana won a national championship? You know, for Kentucky, it was only 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
But, hey, I was telling you this a second ago. Remember, Hoosier and Kentucky fans, Tom Crean is only one measly national title away from tying John Calipari for national championships. So, remember
Sam,
that.
Sam, where were you in 87?
I didn't exist.
Oh, wow. Oh, my goodness.
I was
gracious.
In diapers and she didn't exist. Wow.
Speaking of Sam, we have a Twitter hitter. Twitter hitter.
That's pretty good.
I've heard that before. This is Sam Wrench, another Castle Knight sophomore. Wow. Walker's bringing in the Twitter feed here tonight. Who do you guys have as number one and number two seeds? I haven't even thought about it. I mean, Kentucky's obviously a one seed right now.
Well, you guys said that on Bracketology.
Yeah, Bracketology,
one.
Folks.
That actually surprised me. But
Kentucky's
I mean, I
a one
sense.
In the South region as of today, and IU's a nine seed in the East. So you guys have not gone down.
That's right.
And that's as of today by Joe Bracketology Lenardi.
I do like Kansas, Villanova, North Carolina, Gonzaga. Gonzaga's more than likely the Zags are going to be unbeaten going into the
okay. My ones are UCLA and West.
UCLA, good call.
Kentucky South. Duke's going to be the East.
No way.
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah. They'll end up being a one.
So what, Kansas going to be the Midwest?
Yep. And the twos,
no,
I don't
Nova.
Have a clue.
Nova's going to be the East, man.
I just think I heard that magic sound. I think the phone's ringing.
It is.
Folks, are Red Blue line. Hoops, 812-426-7400. Before we get into the upcoming games, let's go back to the hotline here. Who do we have there, Mr. Berger? The it's grease coming. Pen
that,
went
that
dry.
That pen is flying.
All right, we have Kim.
Okay.
Again.
You're the double call man tonight.
I know.
You got Wayne twice and Kim, go ahead.
I know.
What were you doing in 87, Kim?
Oh, we were downstairs watching that game.
We were.
And, oh, my gosh, yes. And after that, we got that statue out that we had found up in a pond.
Oh, yeah, right. So
there. And we were polishing it up.
Yeah, I bet. So we'll blame you guys.
Yeah,
blame
we
us.
Need to get that statue back, though, don't we?
That's right. We need to get it back. Get it back up there.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling in.
I love it.
Okay.
This is
bye.
Awesome.
I got to bring one quick story up
bring
on
it.
That. She mentioned we were watching the game downstairs. Dad was telling me, we were talking about this over the weekend. Two things. I was actually crying when the Hoosiers won because I was so excited. And then I had a secondary cry because I realized that Steve Alford
I
played
love
his
that
last
story.
Game
I was telling
Indiana. So.
All right, folks.
B-Dog.
Uh-oh, hold on now.
No way, is
this
it?
Is this the B-Dog? Welcome to Red Blue Hoops. Go ahead.
It's the B-Dog.
Yes.
Welcome back to Red Blue Hoops, Ben.
Well, thank you for having me, Big Cat. C-3PO, what's happening?
Nah, not much, man. How are you doing, sir?
Doing good. I caught the last few minutes, and I had to call.
All right.
So I just simply say this. If the bracket stood the way you guys are talking about, the Lenardi or whoever it is, and IU is a 9, Kentucky's a 1, does that mean we play each other again in the second round?
Absolutely.
Like in the last tournament?
I yeah,
well,
go ahead on that.
Right now, B-Dog, they've got you in the East and Kentucky in the South, so some things have to shift a little bit to get us. But
I hope we're not in the South, C-3PO. I hope he's saying we're not in the South, baby.
So, Ben, let me
show you. Beat like last year. Go home, Big Blue.
That's right, baby. Send them. Send a packet.
Anything else, B-Dog?
Just want to say hi, Happy New Year, and keep fighting the good fight.
That's right, Ben, and we're going to hang in there. We're going to get hot in Hoosier Nation, man. I feel it.
Oh, we'll get hot. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of basketball left.
There is.
I'm confident about that. So, go Hoosiers, Big Cat, Red Blue.
All right.
All right, buddy. See you, man.
Thanks, Ben.
See you, guys. Have a good one.
Real quickly, we have to get into U of E USI, but before that,
yes,
your upcoming games before next week's show.
We play Rutgers on Sunday.
Where?
And then, that's at Bloomington, and then Penn State at Penn State next Saturday, and those two games are must wins. Both of them.
So at Penn State, what's that going to be like, you think?
It's not going to be easy. Okay. I would have seen...
they just beat Michigan State.
They just beat Michigan
they
State.
Did at the, wow. Yeah, they
thanks,
did.
Thanks, Walker, for that. Okay, yeah. Kentucky folks, we host Auburn this Saturday in Rupp Arena. Bruce Pearl comes back into the confines of Rupp Arena. You know, Bruce and Cal are old rivals when Bruce coached Tennessee and Cal was at Memphis.
That's right.
Then we go on the road next Tuesday at Mississippi State, and that's Ben Howland.
Ben Howland.
And I don't know really much about Mississippi State this year. They just smoked LSU, I was just told. So we'll see. I think 2-0.
Yeah.
Yeah. So real quick, hey, USI folks, last week we were talking about they were undefeated. They have remained undefeated, 14-0.
Great team.
They have risen up in the power rankings to number 5. They have gone from 17 to 10 in the regular rankings. They have 5 games in the next 10 days against teams that have a combined record of 60-11. So
wow.
Big stretch for USI, Screaming Eagles. Tonight they play at Truman State. Saturday they are at Quincy. And then Monday, the big game, they host Bellarmine.
Yeah.
So U of E, Chad?
U of E, unfortunately, lost 3 in a row, but have 2 home games coming up at Southern Illinois on Saturday at the Ford Center, and then Wichita State Tuesday night if they get those 2, that would be huge. So come out and support the Aces. They need it right now.
That's fantastic. Again, USI at home Monday night against their rival Bellarmine out of Louisville. Chad, 30 seconds till we got to go. Once again, the show has flown by. It's been a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate all the calls and all the Twitter feed. The support of Red Blue Hoops and WNIN is greatly appreciated. We'll be back next week for season three.
Yes.
Yes. And Sam and Berger, appreciate the support. Walker in the house and our special guest from Charlotte, Brad Barber. Hey, go Big Blue.
Go Hoosiers.
We are out.
Support for Red Blue Hoops comes from Nicholson, McNamara, Smith & Associates, Merrill Lynch Wealth Advisors, dedicated to helping clients define financial goals and develop customized wealth management strategies. Information at 812-473-7336. Red Blue Hoops is a production of WNIN Tri-State Public Media. The executive producer is Brad Kimmel. Steve Berger is the producer. The technical director is Samantha Horton. The opinions in this show do not necessarily reflect the views of WNIN staff or board of directors, or, for that matter, Purdue fans, Evansville fans, USI fans, Louisville fans, and certainly not Duke fans.